like business cards are on back table back there. They have my Rightly Dividing group on it, and they also my YouTube channel. I've got some on my YouTube channel, but it's pretty hard to edit it and get it on there, and I'm a one-man band anyway. I have been most of my life. But anyway, there's some cards back there if you would like to some of those. So in Romans chapter 5, what I want to talk to you about today is the atonement. Look in Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, chapter 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Can you hear me good? Okay. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now I want to talk to you about the atonement. And I want to talk to you about sound doctrine. And I want to tell you what sound doctrine is, if I can. Sound doctrine is something that you can follow all the way through the Bible. Folks, this does not right here in Romans chapter 5, but it's all the way through the Bible. When you talk about atonement, you talk about something that happened back when Moses was leading the children of Israel. When he brought them out on the first month, the 10th day of the month, he brought them out of Egypt. That is called the Passover. On the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, they had a thing called the atonement. Now, they had the temple. And the temple was like 75 feet wide, 150 here, 75 feet here. Now in this temple, it had a lavender with water which represented the Word of God. And it had a brazen altar that was here that they burnt sacrifices upon. Then they had the holy place back here. And it had the table of showbread here. Had a candlestick here. And it had the altar of incense here. Back here was the Holy of Holies, and in the Holy of Holies, it had the Ark of the Covenant, which was here, and then it had the throne, which was here, that God came and sat down upon, and then there were cherubims that were over the throne of God, and this was called the mercy seat. Now, on the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, Israel would gather, and they'd gather 3 tribes on every side of this tabernacle. And a priest, the priest of Aaron, would go in to make an atonement for the children of Israel. And when this priest went in, he had to bathe. He had certain garments. I'm not going into all that. But he had certain garments that he had to wear. But he had to bathe. And they had pools outside for him to bathe in. And it was a ritual. And it was done one time a year. And this had to be done. And when that priest, as it was, went into here, he would do a sacrifice, a bullock. And you'll find this in Leviticus chapter 16. And he would sacrifice this bullock. And this bullock was sacrificed for him and his family. And once he done that, then he would go into here and they would sacrifice two he-goats. They would sacrifice one of the he-goats. And that he-goat, he would take that sacrifice, and the only time, and Moses made this plain, the only time that Aaron could ever go into that holy place was one time a year. Only once. And he made it, it was emphatic. It's like Moses, when God told him to strike the rock, he told him to do it one time. Moses struck the rock twice, and Moses couldn't go into the promised land. Because he struck that rock twice. That rock represented the Lord Jesus Christ.
And so Jesus Christ was not struck twice down. He was struck down one time. He was crucified. And so he done this he-goat, and he would sacrifice the he-goat. Now when he sacrificed his he-goat, he'd take the blood of that sacrifice of the he-goat, and he'd go into the where the mercy seat was in the Ark of the Covenant. He'd take the blood of this his he-goat, and he would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and upon the covenant of over here, which represented our sins, which represented the sins of Israel. Now all Israel was around this, and they was waiting on this priest to do that. And he had his priestly garments that he had on, had bells tied to the bottom of his garment. And if he didn't do that right, God would strike him down dead. And so they would listen for the bells. And if the bells were ringing, they knew God hadn't struck him down dead. He was doing it right. And if it struck him down dead, they would pull him out with a rope because they couldn't go back there. It was emphatic that only one person could go back there, only one time a year. And then when he came back out, he would, and what he done, when he sprinkled the blood of the he-goat that he had sacrificed, that was for the sins of Israel. Really and truly, it talks about the rebellion of Israel and their rebellion. And he would state that and then strike that blood, and it was for Israel. And then he would come out, and there was another he-goat. And he'd take this he-goat, and he'd lay his hand on the he-goat, and that he-goat would go into the wilderness, and then never see that he-goat again. Now, that was an atonement. If that priest did that right, he would come outside. And when he came outside, all Israel knew that he'd done it the way God said he was to do it. And when he done that, when he came out, the Shekinah glory of God, where he would come down, set up on that throne, and the Shekinah glory would fill that temple. And they knew that their sins were forgiven for another year. Those, it's their future sins that were forgiven. They were forgiven for another year. Now you'll find this, look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hold on to Romans chapter 5. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. And Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 1. He says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, which they offer year by year, continuously make the comer unto perfect." You see that? That couldn't make them perfect. Not what they did in the atonement. They had to come every year on the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, and do this atonement. And their sins were forgiven in the future for a year. And he says in verse 2, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin." You see, they had conscience of sins every year. This system was not a system that would completely take away their sins forever. It took it away for a year. And so the worshiper in his conscience could not go without this atonement. Their conscience always knew that they had to have it every year. Look in verse 3. "But in those sacrifices were remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he sacrificed an offering that thou wouldest not." Let me read that again. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He take away the first, and he may establish the second. By the which, let me slow down a little bit. I'm getting hyper up here. I'm actually hyperventilating. I mean, I get keyed up. I don't know about you people, but when I come here, I get keyed up. I get excited about the Word of God. I don't drink coffee. If I drank coffee, man, I'd be standing on my head spinning 40 times. No. But I love this. I love the Word of God. I love everything about it. You know, and what's amazing about it, it's so easy. It's so simple. It's that we complicate it. And we complicate everything we do.
Like I tell people, I destroy an anvil. Look in verse 10. By which will we are sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Now I want you to look at the doctrine. That's what I just taught you. I just taught you the doctrine of the atonement that was under the law. You see that?
Amen.
That's the doctrine of atonement that was under the law. But then in Romans chapter 5, we have the atonement is under grace, folks. We see that. And we see that that's a shadow of things to come. We see that that's of Christ. That's a picture of Christ. That goat that was sacrificed over there and was sacrificed, and that blood that was put upon that mercy seat was Christ. And that goat that went into escaped into the wilderness over there, he was sent to hell. That goat that went into the wilderness did not die. And folks, Jesus Christ, when he was on Calvary, he did not die. He went into hell. That was our escape goal, folks. And it was done one time forever. You see the difference? Over here, it was on the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month. Now, it's forever. Not to be done again. No more remembrance of sin. He is my atonement. Now, there's some things I want you to see in this. You know, there people are going around saying stuff like, yeah, you were forgiven at Calvary, but you don't get it until you believe. Folks, they have no idea what this Bible says. They just don't know. You know what? That is not good doctrine. When I look at or sound doctrine, Paul called it sound doctrine. You know what they do? They go through certain parts of the Bible and pick out certain verses, and they make up what they want to. And say what they want to, and they're ignorant about the Word of God. And it's just real easy and plain and simple to see. It's a matter of you believing God's Word. I mean, this instead of what man says. And it's amazing me. It amazes me to see what people do. Listen, folks, I can read a verse out of the Bible and says that, and they say, well, look over here. They say, look over here. Just like me going over here or me going over here, it's going to change that verse. Folks, I don't care what you do, it ain't going to change the words in that verse. That verse means exactly what it says. It's amazing to me. And they do everything in the world except for just believing the Bible that's right in front of them. It just totally amazes me. That Charles Curtin, he liked to engage with people. That's what I like to do. I like to engage with people. Well, who do you see that at? I mean, who do you get that from? What's wrong with that? You wouldn't believe how many people get mad at me and hate me. Say hateful things to me. It don't bother me any. I'm just trying to find out where they came and where they got that at. But watch in Romans chapter 5. It's amazing what's there in Romans chapter 5. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 5 about where we have the atonement. Now, some things about this. My time's going up quick. 35 minutes is not much time. But when Paul says we, I want to put it in context. The ones in Romans over there, in Romans chapter 2, verse 17, he said, behold, thou art called a Jew. These are Gentiles that are called a Jew. And he said, then thou restest in the law and makest thy boast of God. Now when Paul says we, he's talking about them too. Paul is talking about all men. I want to show you that the atonement is for all men. Once and forever, their sins were taken care of for all men. I mean, everybody that ever lived, the atonement was for that. And it's just real, real simple to see. Look in Romans chapter 5. Let's get on with it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 11, let's start there. And not only so, but we also join in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. From who? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? Now, look what he said in verse 12. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon how many men? It don't say some, does it? Many? Is it all in the context? All men, right? For that all have sinned. Now, I don't have time to go through Romans chapter 13 through 17. But in Romans chapter 13, you're going to see this right here. And you're going to see this right here after 17. You know what that is? It's parentheses. And what parentheses is a part of a statement that's not necessary. Romans chapter 13 through 17, you can leave that out and it still makes sense. Because it's not necessary. It don't have to be in the... Now, if it's a colon, or if it's a semicolon, or it's a comma, then it's just crucial in the sentence. This is just plain English, folks. This is what you learn in sixth grade. And so, when you look at these parentheses, it's not necessary for it to be there. So, like I said, for my time, I would love to go over verse by verse with you. And if you want to, we'll sit down anywhere, and I'd love to do this, and we'll go over it verse by verse. But I'm going to use it without the parentheses because of my time. But look what he said in verse 12. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. See that? For all have sinned. You see that? How many? Now, come down to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by many, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I'm in the wrong verse. Go to verse 18, because that's what I wanted to skip. I want to skip the parentheses, okay? Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon many people. You sure about that? Look what he says. Now, I want you to believe your Bible. And believe exactly what it says in the verses that you read. In the words that are on the page. And not what you think it says. Look what it says in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, right? Judgment came upon all men to what? Condemnation. Even so by the righteousness of us. No. Righteousness of one, right? That's Jesus Christ. The free gift came upon some men under justification of life. You sure, my man? How many? How many is all, folks? From Adam unto the great white throne judgment. All men. Justification came upon all men. Folks, you can believe your Bible. All men were justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That atonement was for all men, once and forever, for all sins of every man that ever lived. They were justified by the blood of Christ. What are you talking about, justified? They were justified unto eternal life. That's what it says, don't it? Don't it? Read your Bible. What does it say? They were justified unto life. You see that? It doesn't say eternal. Oh, I love what God don't put in there. I love what he does put in there. And I don't try to change that, because you will never, never see the truth if you change what's in the book. Sound doctrine is believing God's word, that he put his words exactly where he wanted to put them, and he left out words where he didn't want them. Folks, he justified every man unto life. So how does that work? Folks, there is nobody that could come from the dead until Jesus Christ died at Calvary. All, from Adam all the way through, death reigned. And when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he justified every man unto life. That every man will stand before God. He says in Philippians over there, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Folks, those that are in hell now, they're going to have life. And they're going to come up before God, and God's going to be able to bring them from the dead, and they're going to have life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the atonement for their sins. Listen, God Almighty needed that forgiveness. You know the reason God needed the forgiveness? To be able to save you. That's the reason he needed the forgiveness, so he fixed a way that every man would be justified unto life. Look at it. Look in Revelation chapter 20. Now, the reason I'm so loud is because they got on me one year. They said they couldn't hear me. I don't know who it was that told me. He said, but whenever you preach, preach like there's somebody in the street out there where they got the road can hear you. So I hope I'm stopping cars. I'm trying to, anyway. You know, that's a lot of things goes on when you're up there, ain't it, Brother Steve? Like Brother Steve told me, he said, yeah, hard to do this. And it is. Like I was asking him last night, did you sleep very good? He said, no. And I said, me neither. I mean, folks, this is not easy. It's amazing to me, but it's not easy. It takes a lot out of a man to preach. I'm wore out when I sit down from the pulpit. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, he said, I can't remember it now. Huh? Yeah, but he also said, look at me. As much as in me is. Yes. Yeah. In other words, he spent. When he preaches. Look at Romans chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, look in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. Now watch. What did they do? You see that? God justified them to life. Every man. Listen, they're going to stand. There's a resurrection in this right here. In Revelation chapter 20 over here, when they stand before God, small and great, every man going to stand. You know why? Because he justified every man unto life. Every one of them is going to have life, and every one of them is going to stand before God. You know why? Because their sins are forgiven. We have the atonement. Once and for all, we have the atonement for sins. Both your sins were forgiven at Calvary. And there's people in hell right now with their sins forgiven. And they're justified unto life. And they're going to be they got their time when they're going to stand before God. Like justified means, justified has to do with something that's, it's a adjective past tense. It actually describes something that's already happened. Justified. Justification actually describes what happened because you were justified. It's a noun. And all men were justified unto life. And they will stand before God. And they will give an account of whether they believed or didn't believe or the things done in their life at the judgment seat of Christ. But they will come to life. Because all of them are justified unto life. Not everybody is justified unto eternal life, are they? We're justified by eternal life because what Paul said, and I gotta close this thing up, but what Paul said in Romans chapter 6, let me finish reading here. I get way ahead of my task trying to rush through it. But look in verse 12 again. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their sins. Works. You see that? Not sins no more. We have the atonement, folks. Sins are not the problem. I witnessed that guy yesterday was here. I made him understand his only problem was death. Folks, that's your only problem. Everything else has been taken care of. What you're facing is death. And what you want to be saved from is death. And what you trust Jesus Christ to save you from is death. That's our only enemy, folks, is death. And if you don't trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, death is going to get you. Now what he says in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Folks, you were justified unto life. And that first death over there, you're going to come up before him. Because Jesus Christ justified that everybody is going to stand before God. You see, if Jesus Christ hadn't died at Calvary, there wouldn't be no earth. There wouldn't be nothing. God would have destroyed it all. He justified every man at Calvary unto life. And so everybody's going to stand up before Him and stand before Him. And they're going to confess. Now, one more passage. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, boy, run out. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, you know, it's amazing how Scripture fits together, ain't it? It just flows. It's so amazing when you just look at what's there. And Jerry taught me something. He said, when I read Scripture, I read it like I've never read it before. That's what I do. I don't pay attention to what all I know and what goes with it and all that kind of stuff. I just read the Scripture. Look at that. Ain't that amazing? And you can read one verse, folks, and ain't nowhere in the Bible is anything going to change what that verse says. That is so amazing to me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now notice what he says. Now, he says about the same thing that Paul did in Romans. Watch. Verse 21. For since by man came death, Romans 5:12, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For in Adam some died, even so in Christ shall some be made alive. You see that? There's your scripture right there. I mean, all are going to be made alive. Why? Because the scapegoat took your sins. Sins are no more the problem. You know, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I like what he says, and let's see if I can find it. Oh, look, verse 17. Verse 16. For if Christ, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain to watch. Yet, and ye are yet in your sins. Folks, you know the reason I know I'm not in my sins? Because Jesus Christ was resurrected. He's the first. And every man is guaranteed to be resurrected and stand before Him. And you know, in Romans chapter 3, He's going to be judged. That's what the Bible says. He's going to be judged. And when they stand before Him, He's going to be judged that He's right. He's true. And they aren't going to be able to say anything against Christ. And, you know, look at Romans chapter 6. Folks, if you're lost this morning, it's because you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yeah, I heard Brian Sipes up here last night, and he was talking about how that he knew all this and he believed all this, but he was lost. Folks, knowing the truth will not save you. Trusting Jesus Christ will. I'm trusting Jesus Christ that He saved me. And He saved me because I believed in my heart the doctrine that was delivered unto me. And if you look in the book of Romans, that doctrine that's delivered unto you is justification by faith without the works of the law, without any of this. Look in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Like I said, I'm going to cut into this. Verse 9. Knowing that Jesus Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death had no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin one time. Not, you know, He died unto sin, and then later on when you trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you know, that death is to you. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, it just don't make any sense at all that God's going to hold it back. I heard this one preacher say that, he said, I was thinking about this on the way to church, and he said, it's kind of like your kid going to college. You buy him a new car and you tell him he can't have it until he finishes college. That's works, folks. I'm not working for my salvation. I heard another preacher say, I don't want no rewards. Being saved is reward enough for me. I looked at him, I said, I listened to him several times. When he came to me and said it to me face to face, I said, salvation is not a reward. Folks, salvation is not a reward. It's not. When the people use the verse, a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They think because they study that they've been approved of God and they're okay. Folks, it ain't about you studying. The gospel takes you to a place where that you see that I need a Savior. And you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't trust in what you know. And as you wouldn't believe, a guy stood in my church and he said, I'm a second generation. I'm a second generation rightly divided. I've never been lost. If you believe that you can be saved by just believing the gospel over there, you've never been lost. He said, I've known it all my life. And in Florida, a couple came up, a woman came up to him and said, my children have never been lost because they've known this all their life. And they call it the second generation rightly dividers. Folks, what you know is not going to save you. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. It brings you to a place where you see that you need mercy. That ain't being preached today. The mercy seat of Christ ain't being preached today. What you need is mercy. All your knowledge and all this won't save you. It brings you to a place where if you say you're going to stand before God, and if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the second death is going to get you, and you're going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever with your sins forgiven. There's people in hell right now with their sins forgiven. They're screaming in hell. God justified them to life, and they're going to stand before Him. And you know, look in Romans chapter 6 while I'm here. Look in verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members also as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not to whom you serve, or you yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants are you are to whom you obey. Yeah, I'm hyperventilating again. Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now watch. Watch this verse. Believe your Bible. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. What form of doctrine? He is our atonement, not this doctrine. He's our atonement. Amen. Not this doctrine. The doctrine that the Apostle Paul taught. Your sins were forgiven at Calvary. Now notice what he says in Romans chapter 10. Look in Romans chapter 10. About 10 minutes up yet, Steve? Getting close, huh? Romans chapter 10. Now notice what he said in Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, notice something about this verse. When is Christ the end of the law? What's the verse say? To everyone that believeth. You see that? That's when the law stops. Law is our accuser, folks. It accuses us. You know when it stops? It's when you believe. That's the end of the law for you. Look what he said in verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things much shall live by them. But the righteousness, watch, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. Ain't that amazing? Faith can speak. It can actually talk. Look what it says. For the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart. How about that? The heart can speak. You see that? Faith can speak. The heart can speak. Spiritual. You see that? I believe the heart has a spiritual mouth that can speak to God. And I believe that when he said over here that with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation, I believe that's the heart talking to God. I believe that's when you're calling on the Lord.
It's when God is reading the heart
and God is talking to the Lord. That's when I got saved. When my heart and deep in my heart, I knew I was going to hell. I was afraid of going to hell. Every day, I'd get in the shower and I'd put my hands like this right here. And I knew right division because I had a God teaching me this doctrine. And I knew it was true. But I didn't trust this. And I didn't trust the doctrine. I didn't trust the man. I didn't trust any of that. But I kept reading my Bible. He kept pointing things out to me. And my heart kept crying out to God. And I kept saying, I don't want to take a chance. I mean, I don't want to go to hell. I want an extra intern, folks. And I said, no, I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me anyway. And I finally came a place in my life that I seen the atonement was already made for my sin. And my sin forgiven 2,000 years ago. And I seen that in my heart. I cried out to God. You know what I told him? If what Jesus Christ did, not good enough for me, I'm not going to make it. When did you come to a place in your life that you wanted mercy? I'm not talking about you knew this and knew that. As you knew that you were going to hell and you needed mercy. Folks, if you don't have that in your life, you're going to face God. And you're going to have to give an account for when you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now notice what he says in the passage. It's amazing to me what he says here. He says in verse 6, "But the righteous which have faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring him up from the dead?" And if you look this passage up, this passage is about you don't got to compass seas or land. You ain't got to go anywhere or do anything. You see people, when this atonement was right here, the men had to be there. If they were in Rome, if they were in Greece, it didn't matter. Both, they had to pass lands, the oceans. They had to go there to be there at that atonement. They were not required. They had to be there. Folks, we have the atonement. You ain't got to go anywhere, do anything. That doctrine is not for us. The doctrine we have is from the Apostle Paul. And you ain't got to do anything but sit there quietly and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you have a doubt and you think, did I do it right or did I not? You're not fully persuaded of God. The Bible says fully persuaded of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not fully persuaded by Him. If you fully persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never have a doubt. You know, you ain't got to do nothing, go anywhere, but sit right there and be saved. Folks, this is your time. And I don't have time to preach on the conscience of man, but when they stand up before God, I believe the conscience is the only thing that came through the fall. The only thing of God that came through. If it wasn't for your conscience, I believe in total depravity. But conscience is about you, is a part about you that commends the good and condemns the bad. And I tell lost people this all the time when I witness to them. I say, listen, I'm not glorifying my church. I'm not glorifying me. I'm glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell them when I witness to them. I said, you can see there's none good, no, not one. And I said, that's who I'm glorifying. And I said, I know it's witnessing to you. And it does. It witnesses to men, does it not? You ain't got to do nothing, folks. It's already been done. And Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You see that, whosoever? And, you know, they're trying to do away with this, folks. I find this all the time in Romans chapter 10. They're trying to do away with what the Bible says. They said, that's to Israel. He said, both to the Jew and the Greek. How in the world did they mess that? It says both to the Jew and Greek. People, that they're trying to do away with calling on the Lord. They're trying to do away with mercy. And they're standing in their own glory and what they've done and what they know. And they stick out their little chicken breasts and crow about what they know. And this is the way I believe. And boy, I get it every day. It's sad to see it come. You know, it's coming like that. It's sad to see people like that. They never do get to see the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Everything's been done except for you calling on the Lord. You got to tell Him you want to be saved. He just don't automatically save you for your what you know. But anyway, thank the Lord
for Brother Steve letting me do this and for your patience.